Continue to go through the Psalms. We're in Psalm 15 now, the 15th chapter or the 15th Psalm, and there's just been so much good stuff here. I want to start off right away with verse 1 of Psalm 15. Psalm 15, 1. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? So David's the author of Psalm 15. He starts off with this question. This is a very powerful question. It's an interesting question, especially in light of looking at the Psalms chronologically as they were put together in the five books and the 150 Psalms, as they were assembled the way that they were assembled. Because just before Psalm 15 is what? Psalm 14. And Psalm 14 last week was all about David lamenting about the fool, right? The fool who doesn't trust God, the fool who doesn't put their faith in God, the fool who corrupts themselves. Now we see the opposite here. That was Psalm 14. Now we turn to Psalm 15, and we look at the opposite of the fool, which we talked about is the wise man in Proverbs, you know, the fool and the wise man of Proverbs. But David asks, okay, we know who the fool is now, but God, who can stand, who can be in your very presence? And the answer, of course, is the righteous one, or as we would say in Hebrew, the tzaddik. The message title today is How to Be a Tzaddik. We learned all about how to be a fool. If you want to learn how to be a fool, first of all, go out there in the world and learn from the world. But second of all, read Psalm 14. It's got some really interesting stuff about how to be a fool. But Psalm 15 is what we want to be interested in here, is how to be a tzaddik, how to be a righteous person or a righteous one. We looked at those characteristics of the fool last week in Psalm 14, and there was many of them. Well, today, we're going to look at all of these characteristics of the tzaddik. You want to be a righteous person? If I want to be a righteous person in God, well, practically, what does that mean? Somebody tells you, oh, go be righteous. Well, what does that really mean? Psalm 15 spells it out for us. In fact, there are, if you count them in the psalm, you can go do that later, there's 11 characteristics of the tzaddik. 11 things in Psalm 15 that you and I need to do to be considered righteous before the Lord, or characteristics of the righteous. Now, we know that the Bible puts things in, God puts things in the Bible for specific purposes. There's no mistakes in the Bible. There's no, oops, I meant to do 12 things, but I only got 11 in, you know. God is complete with what he does and what he gives us, and he has given us 11 characteristics here. Now, a 16th century German Jewish rabbi named Ya'avetz, who is quoted a lot in the commentary, says that these 11 characteristics that are laid out in Psalm 15 are the foundation for the entire Torah. You know, the 613 commandments. The entire Torah, the five books of Moses, we know that they could be summarized into love God and love others. But these 11 characteristics that are identified in Psalm 15, if you do these, you're considered, in a sense, to have taken on and the foundation of the entire Torah. So everything is encompassed here. To be the tzaddik, to be the righteous person, to embody God's perfect standard within our lives. O Lord, who can sojourn in your tent? What does that refer to? That, of course, refers to first the tabernacle, God's dwelling place in the wilderness when the children of Israel went in the wilderness. But then when they got into the land of Israel and they constructed a freestanding structure, not just a tent, it was, of course, the temple. So, paraphrasing it, who can be in your temple, God? And then it says, who shall dwell in your holy hill? Well, if you've never been to Israel before, you know that Jerusalem is located on top of a hill. There's actually several hills around Jerusalem. That's why they say in the Psalms, the mountains around Jerusalem, because it's physically like that, the geography. That's hard for us to understand as Floridians, like, right? I think there's like one hill in Merritt Island that I had growing up. That was one hill, like, wow, that's a hill. But there's no mountains here. If you lived in Tennessee, you would understand that, right? If you lived in Jerusalem, you would understand the mountains that surround Jerusalem just as the Lord surrounds his people, which is what it says. You would understand that because you would understand the topography and the geography. Well, when it says, who shall dwell on your holy hill, It's who shall dwell on the hill of Jerusalem, where Jerusalem is located. So the tzaddik is the one who can dwell with God in his tent, in his temple. And the tzaddik is the one who can dwell with God in Jerusalem, on the hill of Jerusalem. But last week we saw in Psalm 14 that we had a little problem. Because in Psalm 14, David says, no one is righteous. The Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, quotes that later on in the book of Romans. No one is righteous. So we have a problem. We want to be a tzaddik. We want to do these 11 things. We want to embody the Torah and the perfect standard of God. But nobody's a tzaddik. So what does that mean? How does that make sense? Well, the answer is we all fall short of that goal. We all fall short of that standard. And that's why we have things like this. We don't do it just because it's fun. We do it because we do fall short, and it's for the sin we committed during all of this year. That's why all of these things, if you read through them and we're honest with ourselves, we've done these things. We've done these things in our heart. We've done these things against God. We've done these things against other people. Even the most righteous of us messes up and falls short. So we have no righteousness of our own, as some of the holiday liturgy says. What do we do? Well, as believers in Yeshua, we know that Yeshua is our righteousness. The one who came that is perfect, the Mashiach, he is the full embodiment of the tzaddik. And if we believe that he died for our sins, if we are living with Yeshua, if he is living in us, so to speak, we are redeemed. We are righteous. We have Yeshua in us. So we are declared righteous because he is righteous and he is in us. So as we go through the psalm today, it's not, I do these things, I'm righteous. We get into that whole works-based thing where it's just, I'm just going to do this and therefore I'm going to get the benefits of just doing something. Doing it with the wrong heart, doing it with the wrong understanding is not right. Let's do it with the understanding that it's him, Yeshua, that's righteous. And in him, I am a tzaddik. In him, I can live a righteous life. And one more thing before we get into the actual text. There's a prophetic element here to this psalm, as there are in many of the psalms. You know, the psalms teach us a lot about theology. They're not just nice songs to sing, although they are nice songs to sing. But the psalms teach us theology. And the psalm here, Psalm 15, teaches us prophetically what is going to come to pass. When David is speaking 3,000 years ago and he's talking about who may go into your tent, who may go to your holy hill, yes, that's for the present, but it also refers to the future when we have a new heaven and a new earth. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about a heavenly Jerusalem. So we need to think not only in the physical sense today, the physical is temporary, but the spiritual and prophetic sense that one day we will all be able, as tzaddik, as redeemed, fully redeemed with glorified bodies and all that, to stand fully before the Lord. Without all of this, we messed up for the sin we committed. That'll be behind us, and we can be with the Lord forever, and we can have this messianic age where Yeshua is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, and we are tzaddik, we are righteous ones of the Lord. So we wait for that day. So let's begin with the characteristics of a tzaddik so we can kind of get learning right now, right? Psalm 15, verse 2. Let's go back there. Psalm 15, 2, we start talking about these 11 characteristics. Okay? Who is a tzaddik? Verse 2. He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. Now, I want you to turn to a parallel psalm, Psalm 24. And Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, we're going to read here. There's a lot of parallel imagery that God uses, that David uses, that many of the people in the Bible use, and I believe it's that way for a reason. So this is reinforcing. Psalm 24, if you read verses 3 and 4, and really the whole psalm, it's very similar to Psalm 15 in this way. Psalm 24, verse 3, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Basically said the same thing, right? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, as does not swear deceitfully. Now this psalm, I bring it out because it's a beautiful psalm and it kind of gives a little bit different but very similar imagery as Psalm 15. And if you recognize the words from Psalm 24, specifically verse 3, you would remember that we sang it this morning. That first song we sang, Mountain of the Lord, is from Psalm 24, which is, again, similar to Psalm 15. So we have this idea, though, in Psalm 15, if we go back to Psalm 15, verse 2, that the tzaddik, the righteous, is blameless, without blame. Nobody can look and say, oh, you did this, you did that. Blameless. But we need to really dig into this a little bit because it doesn't necessarily mean what we think it means. The word blameless in Hebrew first is tamim, tamim. And the meaning behind tamim is complete, whole. Kind of like that word shalom, right? Shalom can mean hello and goodbye, but also a wholeness, a fullness, without anything else that needs to be added to it. This is like tamim, blameless in Hebrew. Complete, whole, sound, entire, unimpaired, wholesome. Now, it's the same Hebrew word used in the book of Genesis. I want you to go there, Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. And this is a very interesting passage of scripture here, Genesis 6, 9, because this is early on in the history of the world and early on in the history of mankind. And we come to this fellow named Noah. And Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 says this: these are the generations, toldot, of Noah, Noach. Noah was a righteous man, tzaddik, blameless in his generation. And Noah walked with God. The same Hebrew word, tamim, is there. So, Noah was a tzaddik, and Noah was tamim. He was blameless. Many times we think of that word, blameless, as perfect. And we have this standard for ourselves that we can never meet, because nobody's ever been perfect except for Yeshua. And the best, most righteousest person in the world can never attain true blamelessness or perfection before the Lord. But this word blameless or tamim doesn't mean perfect. It means, and if you think about what was going on in the world at that time, Genesis chapter 6, what was about to happen was this major flood. Why was the flood about to happen? Because people were living as fools, like Psalm 14 says. People were living without God. People didn't want to hear about God. People laughed at Noah as he built the ark. But Noah walked differently. He walked blamelessly before God. So it's basically this idea of blameless is a contrast between the world. Are you going to play the part of the fool or the part of the blameless one? Interestingly enough, I'm reading from the ESV. That's what all the translations are from. The ESV Bible version. And it says walk blamelessly in it. Okay? But the KJV, the King James, translate this as walks with integrity. So when you walk blamelessly, you're walking in integrity. And integrity is a word that I think is lost today. People think they can do whatever they want to whomever they want and be okay with it. And there's no shame. But when we walk with integrity, we walk differently. You and I are not called to be perfect, but we're called to walk with integrity. We're called to walk as Noah did in the midst of that world. We're called to walk differently each day. And the Hebrew is holech tamim, walk differently, both in Genesis 6:9 and Psalm 15, verse 2. We are called to walk blamelessly, to walk with integrity, to walk differently according to God's standards. So that's the first point today in today's message. What is a tzaddik? How to be a tzaddik is a tzaddik walks in God's ways. A tzaddik walks with God, seeks the things of God, the integrity of God, the ways of God, and wants to walk after the Lord in those ways. Very different than how the world walks. Now back to Psalm 15. I'm going to read starting in verse 3. We're going to go down to the middle of verse 5, so 2.5 verses. Psalm 15, verse 3, continuing on with these characteristics of the tzaddik, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord and swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. There's a lot in there, and you can go and read it carefully and see. But, you know, I love all of this, all of these descriptions. When it says in verse 4, who swears by his own hurt, it means basically, if you're wronged, what do we want to do if we get wronged? We immediately want to wrong the person back. We immediately take up an offense. And the meaning here is, who works through his own hurt and really doesn't let that allow him to take up an offense. People are going to do things to you that are not right. People are going to treat you and I not right. And what are we going to do? Are we going to take up an offense? Are we going to get right back at them? Or are we going to be like a tzaddik and, you know, allow the Lord to work through it? And as it says, swear by our own hurt. Don't give in to that hurt. Don't give in to those things and don't play that game. So these are other, that's just one example. Other characteristics of the tzaddik here. We know that we walk with God, we walk in God's ways. But now what we see in these verses is we have to walk a certain way amongst and with other people. It's not enough to just say, I love God, I'm going to follow God and walk in his ways. Yes, we have to do all that. But we have this other thing like people that we have to deal with in the world, right? None of us live on a deserted island with like a coconut for a friend. You ever see that movie? Sometimes I feel like it would be easier if that was the case. But we live amongst people. And people are people, right? We're people, and we do silly things. And a tzaddik not only walks in God's ways, but learns how to walk and deal with other people, whether they're treating them well or not treating them well. The tzaddik's relationship with other people, I believe that this is really underrepresented in our faith walk in the body of Messiah. We focus so much, we preach so much, and talk so much about loving God, but not so much about loving other people. Treating other people the right way. We have to work on this as well. And that's why I believe there's several characteristics here in Psalm 15, because a big part of this is loving our neighbor or learning how to deal with and work with our neighbor. One generation before Yeshua, over 2,000 years ago, there was two great sages of Judaism, Hillel and Shammai. You may have heard of them, right? And this Gentile, this non-Jew, says to both of them, I'll convert to Judaism. Remember, this is a time when everybody was pagan, right? Everybody that wasn't Jewish was totally pagan. I'll convert to Judaism, but you need to tell me basically what he asked. He asked both of them. Shammai kind of didn't want to, you know, told them one thing. He wasn't happy with that. So he goes to Hillel and he's asked by this Gentile to teach him the whole Torah and he'll convert. If you could teach me the whole Torah and stand on one foot while you're doing it. This is in the Talmud. This is a story. And he says this. This is how Hillel responded to this man. Quote, that which is hateful to you, do not do to others. This is the entire Torah. The rest is commentary. Go and learn it. End quote. So if that's, and Hillel had this beautiful way, if you read Hillel's writings, to simplify things, to break things down. Very much like Rashi in the 12th century. These sages had a wonderful way of taking something so complicated like the Torah and breaking it down. Basically, don't do what's hateful to other people, or that which is hateful to you, do not do to others. Okay? Now, a generation later, Yeshua had something to say about it. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 28. Now, here in Mark 12, it wasn't a non-Jew that comes up to Yeshua. It was a Jewish person. In fact, it was a Jewish scribe. And he comes up and he says to Yeshua something a little bit different. He says, Yeshua, rabbi, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And he says this. I'll read this starting in verse 28. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, Yeshua asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Yeshua answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Verse 31, and the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. If you and I focus on those two things, we're going to be doing really, really well as a tzaddik, okay? And we cannot forget the loving our neighbor as ourselves, loving others. In Psalm 15, we read the characteristics of the tzaddik, and it says in Psalm 15, does no evil to his neighbor. Kind of like the Hillel thing, right? Does no evil to his neighbor and all the other things. We need to reflect Yeshua, the greatest tzaddik, in everything we do. We need to have a positive testimony because you and I represent the Lord to other people. So when we as believers treat people in a way that's not right, yes, of course, we're breaking commandments, but we're a bad witness to the Lord. We're a bad witness to Yeshua because we're saying one thing and we're doing another. Have you ever met anybody like that? Have you ever been like that maybe at times? We all are at times. It's much more than, okay, I've got to tolerate people, right? I got to tolerate the people in my congregation. I got to tolerate the people in my life. I got to tolerate the people at my work, whatever. It's more than that. It's more than I'm going to try not to hate people, right? It's love others. Show people the love of Yeshua even when they're unlovable. And this is such a hard thing to do. And we have a great opportunity because here comes the month of Elul and here comes this. And if you look at the 40 reflections, it's an interspersement of our relationship with God, yes, but also our relationship with others. We want to learn how to love people better. Let's reflect on these things and try to do better this coming year in this 40 days of prayer and repentance. Point number two in the message, a tzaddik shows love to others. We need to be healed. We need to be right before the Lord so that we can pour that out to other people and show love to others, whether they agree with us or not. All right, back to Psalm 15 again. We're going to go to the last part of verse 5 in the last part of the psalm. Very simply, Psalm 15, part B, or verse 5, part B. He who does these things shall never be moved. All the things before that, right? The 11 things, the tzaddik characteristics. He who does these things shall never be moved. Now that's a powerful statement right there. There's a word in Hebrew and it's called avodah. You ever heard it before? Avodah. I'm sure you've heard it before. And avodah is a word in Hebrew and it means labor or service. And it encompasses, I think, a lot of what Judaism and what the Jewish ethics are and what really being a believer in the Lord is all about, which is an active lifestyle. It's not passive. Avodah means labor or service. That's active. That's doing something, right? It's not just sitting back. Judaism is a religion of action. If there's one way to characterize it, this is why a lot of times in Judaism, you don't see a whole lot of statements of faith. You know, when Maimonides in the 11th century came out with the 13 statement of faith, you know that statement of faith, I believe in perfect faith in God, and da-da-da-da-da, you've heard of this before. Ani Ma'amim is based on that, the song. You know, when Maimonides came out with that, he was basically branded as a heretic. Because in Judaism, you don't talk about things, and you don't have all these statements and make all these, you know, it's very Greek thinking. You do. You move. It's action. By doing it, you tell people you believe it. And said it the other way, if you believe something, you do it. You don't just say, oh, I believe that. You take action. You move forward. It's a very stark contrast, and it's something so hard for us to understand because we live in America. We live in the West, and the West is governed by a Western mindset, which is based on Greek mindset. And what did the Greeks give us? They gave us philosophers and great thinkers, you know, like the thinker, you know, sitting there thinking. That's the Greek mindset. And that's all well and good. But the Hebrew mindset, the Middle Eastern mindset, is very, very different. It's a mindset of action. If you believe it, you do it. Holech tamim, tamim, walking blamelessly. Right? Walking means you're doing something. You're acting. You're going forward. Let's turn to John 13, chapter 13, verse 12. We'll start right there. This is a very famous story, which you'll recognize right away. But I want you to think of it in terms of holech, walking, doing, acting. This is Yeshua. When he had washed their feet, washing the disciples' feet, and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you not understand what I have done to you? You call me Rabbi and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." This is a great example of doing, going out and serving other people, having a servant's heart, getting involved in the congregation and doing something. You're not only doing something for God, but you're blessing other people. It's a win-win. And it is this whole idea of moving, of holech, of walking forward. And the Bible tells us faith is wonderful, but faith without works is not so good, right? It's dead is what the Bible says. Let's read that. James, Yaakov, chapter 2, verse 14. "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You show your faith by your works," right? If you believe it, you do it. This is kind of what we're talking about here. This is being a tzaddik, is walking it out, working it out, doing things. Now, if you do all of those characteristics, if you walk it out, holech tamim, walk blamelessly, walk with integrity before the Lord, what happens, and it's right at the end, you will not be moved. Now, we've read this, we've sang this before, there's songs about, I shall not be moved. What does that really mean? I shall not be moved. It means when the storms come, when the trouble is there, when the world is spinning out of control, when people are coming against you and breathing out all sorts of vile lies about you, anything like that, you cannot be moved. Why? Because you are connected with God. You're a tzaddik. You are planted by God. The Bible gives us imagery of a believer. Listen to this. And the imagery is as of a tree, right? You've heard of this before? We've read this before. It's a tree. The imagery is, and I think this says it in the Psalm somewhere, I can't recall, a tree planted by streams of water. We need water to water the tree, but the tree is there. I have this tree in my backyard, by the way, and I need to chop this tree down because it's like getting everywhere. The tree is everywhere. The roots are coming up out of the ground. You ever had that in your house? And you're like, what am I going to do about this tree? But the roots are so deep, it's going to be very tough to get the tree out. And of course, there's power lines everywhere, and it's going to be fun. Anyway, the point is, the tree is really, really rooted. It's really, really rooted by streams of my pool. You know, it's right next to my pool. It's getting closer to my pool. The tree is everywhere in the backyard now. It is so rooted. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3. No one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. You and I need to be like that tree in my backyard, never to be moved. Well, it'll be moved, but you know what I mean. We'll get it moved eventually. But you understand what I'm trying to say. The roots are going deep. You and I, as tzaddik, if we're doing these things, we're working actively in our lives, loving God, loving other people. The righteous, the tzaddik, will never be moved. Point number three, pursuing righteousness creates deep roots on an unshakable foundation. That unshakable foundation is God. A tzaddik builds on the foundation of God's word, God's ways, doing to others, you know, loving God, loving other people. Pursuing that, actively pursuing, that's why the word is in there, pursuing righteousness. Not just like, I'm righteous now, I've attained it. This whole life, we need to continue to pursue righteousness because that continues to create deep roots on the unshakable foundation of God. This is how to be a tzaddik. There's nothing in here about, oh, I gave to charity a whole lot, although that's great, we need to do that. There's nothing in here, even if you look, think biblically of, oh, I gave all these sacrifices before the Lord, although that's great at the time. There's nothing in there about, I did all this wonderful stuff in the community, although that's great. How to be a tzaddik, walk in God's ways, show love to others, pursue righteousness. God will use you to do all of those things I just mentioned, but it's got to come from within. It's got to be truly inside of you. Because when the storms happen, you've got the rooting inside of you to weather the storms. And weather them you will in the Lord. So Psalm 15 is all of these things, but it's also, remember, a prophetic picture of the coming kingdom. There'll be a day when there is a beautiful new Jerusalem, a new heavens and a new earth. And I'm telling you what, you're going to be so rooted as a tzaddik, as a redeemed of the Lord, you're not going to be uprooted because God is going to be your foundation. Yeshua is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. We are going to be with the Lord night and day. There will be no night and day. You know, the Lord will be there the whole time giving us the light. That's the future we need to look forward to, which is not here yet. But as we're here, let's prepare ourselves for it. Let's work and pursue the righteousness of being a tzaddik, walking God's ways, loving others, and building and rooting ourselves in the Lord. This is how to be a tzaddik with the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because your word tells us. We don't have to guess. Your word tells us, obviously, what not to do, Psalm 14, the fool. And it tells us what to do, Psalm 15, the tzaddik. Lord, may we understand these things. May we take them back with us, and may we have that deep rooting within us. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to take it on. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would change hearts, that you would help people to, even at this time as we come into Elul, to examine our hearts. Are there things that are preventing the roots from getting down deep? Are there things in our lives that are preventing us from being a tzaddik and pursuing that righteousness? Are there things we need to ask for forgiveness for? Are there things we need to make right? Lord, prepare our hearts to meet you, our King, which is what Rosh Hashanah is really culminating at, Lord. But as we go into this month of Elul, prepare us, Lord God. Help us to meditate on these things and think on these things, and help us to holech tamim, walk blamelessly, walk with integrity, pursuing your righteousness. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for your Ruach, Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us every day as we go on in our ways and we pursue you and your righteousness. We thank you, God. We praise you. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen.